Serene said. All the other women have been mooning over Kalu so much. It's about time I fell into line. Spirit began to chuckle. Then he caught the dangerous look in her eyes and let it taper off. It really was the only way, Serene. I didn't have much choice. I had to act the part. I think you acted it a little too well, she said. Then she smiled, unable to remain angry. He obviously caught the softening in her eyes, for he untensed. You have to admit, it was fun at times. I had no idea you were that good of a fencer. Serene smiled slyly. My talents are plentiful, Spirit. And apparently so are yours. I had no idea you were that good of an actor. I hated you. It's nice to feel appreciated, Spirit said, letting his arms wrap around her. Suddenly she was aware of his close proximity. His body was room temperature, and the unnatural coolness was unnerving. However, rather than pulling away, she let her head rest on his shoulder. So why did you come? You should be back in New Elantris, preparing your people. Why risk coming out into Kaye? To find you, he said. She smiled. That was the right answer. And, he continued, to keep you all from slaughtering each other. This country certainly is a mess, isn't it? Serene sighed. And it's partially my fault. Spirit reached up to put his hands on her neck, rotating her head so she could see into his eyes. His face was different, but those eyes were the same, deep and blue. How had she ever mistaken him for anyone else? You are not allowed to berate yourself, Serene, he said. I get enough of that from Galadin. You've done a wonderful job here. Better than I could have even imagined. I assumed that these men would stop meeting after I left. Serene paused, shaking herself from the trance of being lost in those eyes. What was that you just said? After you left? Voices called from the other room, and Spirit winked at her, his eyes twinkling. We need to go back in, but let's just say I have something else I need to tell you. Once the meeting is through and we can speak more privately. She nodded in a half daze. Spirit was in Kaye, and Aeon Dor worked. She walked back into the dining room and sat down at the table, and Spirit entered the room a few moments later. One chair was still empty, however. Where's Ahane? Serene asked. Kyine frowned. He left, he declared in a bitter tone. Lucal laughed, shooting Serene a smile. The Count claims that something he ate didn't agree with him. He stepped out. It's impossible, Kyine grumbled. There was nothing in those crackers that could have upset his stomach. I'm sure it wasn't the crackers, Uncle, Serene said with a smile. It must be something he ate before he came. Lucal laughed in agreement. Dome my nose, that man eats so much. It's a wonder he doesn't end up sick every night, by pure laws of probability. Well, we should continue without him, Roal said. There's no telling how long he will be indisposed. Agreed, Serene said, preparing to begin again. Roal, however, beat her to it. He stood slowly, his old body looking surprisingly weak. The Duke sighed, shaking his head. If you will all forgive me, I have something to say. The nobles nodded, sensing the Duke's solemnity. I will not lie to you. I never once debated whether or not action should be taken against Tel-Rai. He and I have spent the last 10 years as mercantile enemies. He is a flagrant, wasteful man. He will make a worse king, even than Iodine. His willingness to even consider Raythan's silly proclamation was the final proof I needed. No. My reason for demanding more time before we met was not to wonder if we should depose Tel-Rai. The reason I asked for more time was to wait for some associates of mine to arrive.
Associates? Serene said.
Assassins, Roile said. Men I have hired out of Fjorden. Not all the people of that country are perfectly loyal to their god. Some are sworn to gold instead.
Where are they? Serene asked.
Staying in an inn not far away, Roile said.
But, Serene said with confusion, just last week you warned us against letting bloodshed advance our revolt.
Roile bowed his head. The guilt was speaking, dear Serene, for I had already sent for these men. However, I have changed my mind. This young man from Dula.
Roile was interrupted by the sound of feet clomping in the entry hallway. Ehane had returned.
Odd, Serene thought to herself as she turned. I didn't hear the front door close.
When she turned, it was not Ehane she found standing in the doorway. Instead, she was confronted by a group of armed soldiers, with a well-dressed man at their front. King Tel-Rai. Serene jumped up, but her yell of surprise was lost among other similar exclamations. Tel-Rai stepped to the side, allowing a dozen men in Elantris City Guard uniforms to fill the room. They were followed by the portly Count Ehane.
Ehane, Roile said, what have you done? I finally got you, old man, the Count said gleefully, his jowls shaking. I told you I would. Joke about how my caravans to Svorden are doing now, you cursed old idiot. We'll see how yours do while you spend the next few years in prison.
Roile shook a mournful, white-haired head.
You fool. Didn't you realize when this stopped being a game? We aren't playing with fruits and silks anymore. Protest if you will, Ehane said with a triumphant shake of his finger. But you have to admit, I got you. I've been waiting to do this for months. I could never get Iodine to believe me. Can you believe that he actually thought you incapable of betraying him? He claimed your old friendship went too deep.
Roile sighed, regarding Tel-Rai, who was smiling broadly, obviously enjoying the exchange.
Oh, Ehane, Roile said. You have always been so fond of acting without thought.
Serene was stunned. She couldn't move or even speak. Traitors were supposed to be men with dark eyes and sour dispositions. She couldn't connect that image with Ehane. He was arrogant and impetuous, but she liked him. How could someone she liked do something so horrible? Tel-Rai snapped his fingers, and a soldier stepped forward and rammed his sword directly into Duke Roile's belly. Roile gasped, then crumpled with a moan.
Thus are the judgments of your king, Tel-Rai said.
Ehane yelled, eyes widening in his fat face.
No! You said prison!
He rushed past Tel-Rai. blubbering as he knelt beside Roile.
"Did I?"
Telrai asked. Then he pointed at two of his soldiers. "You two, gather some men and find those assassins. Then," he tapped his chin thoughtfully, "throw them off the walls of Elantris."
The two men saluted, then marched from the room.
"The rest of you," Telrai said, "kill these traitors. Start with the dear princess. Let it be known that this is the punishment for all those who try to usurp the throne."
"No!" Shuden and Eundel yelled in unison. The soldiers started to move, and Serene found herself behind a protective wall formed by Shuden, Eundel, and Lucal. Only Eundel was armed, however, and they were faced by 10 men.
"Interesting you should mention usurpers, Duke Telrai," a voice said from across the table. "I was under the impression that the throne belonged to Aiden's family."
Serene followed the sound. Her eyes found Spirit, or at least someone wearing Spirit's clothing. He had pale aeonic skin, sandy brown hair, and keen blue eyes. Spirit's eyes. But his face didn't show any signs of Elantris's taint. He tossed a rag on the table, and she could see the brown stains on one side, as if he wanted them to believe he had simply wiped away his makeup to reveal a completely different face underneath. Telrai gasped, stumbling back against the wall.
"Prince Raoden," he choked. "No, you died. They told me you were dead."
Raoden. Serene felt numb. She stared at the man's Spirit, wondering who he was, and if she had ever really known him. Spirit looked at the soldiers.
"Would you dare slay the true king of Aerilon?" he demanded.
The guard members stepped back, faces confused and frightened.
"Men, protect me!"
Telrai yelped, turning and scrambling from the room. The soldiers watched their leader flee, then unceremoniously joined him, leaving the conspirators alone.
Spirit, Raoden, hopped over the table, brushing past Lucal. He shoved the still blubbering Ahane out of his way and knelt next to Kyan, the only one who had thought to try treating Roile's wound. Serene watched dumbly from behind, her senses paralyzed. It was obvious that Kyan's care would be nowhere near enough to save the Duke. The sword had passed completely through the man's body, delivering a painful wound that was certainly mortal.
"Raoden," Duke Roile gasped, "you have returned to us."
"Be still, Roile," Raoden said, stabbing the air with his finger. Light burst from its tip as he began to draw.
"I should have known it was you," the Duke rambled. "All of that silly talk about trusting the people. Can you believe I actually started to agree with you? I should have sent those assassins to do their work the moment they arrived."
"You are too good a man for that, Roile," Spirit said, his voice taut with emotion. Roile's eyes focused, perceiving for the first time the aeon that Spirit was drawing above him. He breathed out in awe.
"Have you returned the beautiful city as well?"
Spirit didn't respond, instead concentrating on his aeon. He drew differently from the way he had before, his fingers moving more dexterously and quickly. He finished the aeon with a small line near the bottom. It began to glow warmly, bathing Roile in its light. As Serene watched, the edges of Roile's wound seemed to pull together slightly. A scratch on Roile's face disappeared, and several of the liver spots on his scalp faded. Then the light fell away. the wound still belching blood with each futile pump of the Duke's dying heart. Spirit cursed. "It's too weak," he said, desperately beginning another aeon. "And I haven't studied the healing modifiers. I don't know how to target just one part of the body." Roile reached up with a quivering arm and grabbed Spirit's hand. The partially completed aeon faded away as the Duke's movement caused Spirit to make a mistake. Spirit did not start again, bowing his head as if weeping.
"Do not cry, my boy," Roile said. "Your return is blessed. You cannot save this tired old body, but you can save the kingdom. I will die in peace, knowing you are here to protect it."
Spirit cupped the old man's face in his hands. "You did a wonderful job with me, Roile," he whispered, and Serene felt intensely that she was intruding. "Without you to watch over me, I would have turned out like my father."
"No, boy," Roile said. "You were more like your mother from the start. Domai bless you."
Serene turned away then, as the Duke's death turned gruesome, his body spasming and blood coming to his lips. When she turned back, blinking the tears from her eyes, Raoden was still kneeling over the old man's corpse. Finally, he took a deep breath and stood, turning to regard the rest of them, with sad but firm eyes. Beside her, Serene felt Shuden, Eundel, and Lucal fall to their knees, bowing their heads reverently.
"My king," Eundel said, speaking for all of them.
"My husband,"
Serene realized with shock. Chapter 54.
"He did what?" Raethan asked with amazement. The priest, startled by Raethan's sudden reaction, stuttered as he repeated the message. Raethan cut the man off halfway through. "The Duke of Iael Plantation, dead? By Telrai's command? What kind of random move was this?" Raethan could tell from the messenger's face that there was more, so he motioned for the man to continue. Soon Raethan realized that the execution hadn't been random at all, that in fact it had been completely logical. Raethan couldn't believe Telrai's fortune. Roile was said to be a crafty man. Catching the Duke in the act of treason had been amazingly propitious. What the messenger related next, however, was even more shocking. The rumors said that Prince Raoden had returned from the grave. Raethan sat dumbfounded behind his desk. A tapestry fluttered on the wall as the messenger closed the door on his way out. "Control," he thought. "You can deal with this." The rumor of Raoden's return was false, of course, but Raethan had to admit that it was a masterful stroke. He knew of the prince's saintly reputation. The people regarded Raoden with a level of idolizing adoration that was given only to dead men. If Serene had somehow found a look-alike, she could call him husband and continue her bid for the throne, even now that Roile was dead.
"She certainly works quickly," Raethan thought with a respectful smile.
Telrai's slaughter of Roile still bothered Raethan. Murdering the Duke without trial or incarceration would make the other nobles even more apprehensive. Raethan rose. Perhaps it wasn't too late to convince Telrai to at least draft a warrant of execution. It would ease the aristocratic minds if they were able to read such a document. Telrai refused to see him. Raythan stood in the waiting room again, staring down two of Telrai's guards, arms folded in front of him. The two men looked at the ground sheepishly. Apparently something had unsettled Telrai so much that he wasn't taking any visitors at all. Raythan didn't intend to let himself be ignored, though he could not force his way into the room. He could make himself such a nuisance that Telrai eventually agreed to meet with him. So he had spent the last hour demanding a meeting every 5 minutes. In fact, the time was approaching for another request.
"Soldier," he commanded, "ask the king if he will see me."
The soldier sighed, just as he had the last half-dozen times Raythan had made the demand. However, the soldier opened the door and obeyed, going in to search out his commander. A few moments later, the man returned. Raythan's query froze in his throat. It wasn't the same man. The guard whipped out his sword and attacked the second guard. Sounds of metal against metal exploded from the king's audience chamber, and men began to scream, some in rage, others in agony. Raythan cursed. A battle on the one night he had left his armor behind. Gritting his teeth, he spun past the fighting guards and entered the room. The tapestries were in flames, and men struggled desperately in the close confines. Several guards lay dead at the far doorway. Some wore the brown and yellow of the Elantris Guard. The others were in silver and blue, the colors of Count Eondel's legion. Raythan dodged a few attacks, ducking blades or smashing them out of men's hands. He had to find the king. Telrai was too important to... Time froze as Raythan saw the king through the melee, burning strips of cloth dripping from the brocades above. Telrai's eyes were wild with fear as he dashed toward the open door at the back of the room. Eondel's sword found Telrai's neck before the king had taken more than a few steps. Telrai's headless corpse fell at Count Eondel's feet. The count regarded it with grim eyes, then collapsed himself, holding a wound in his side. Raythan stood quietly in the melee, chaos forgotten for the moment, regarding the two corpses. "So much for avoiding a bloody change in power," he thought with resignation. Part 3. The Spirit of Elantris. Chapter 55. It seemed unnatural to look at Elantris from the outside. Raoden belonged in the city. It was as if he stood outside of his own body, looking at it from another person's perspective. He should no more be separated from Elantris than his spirit should be separated from his body. He stood with Serene atop Kyine's fortress-like house in the noonday sun. The merchant, showing both foresight and healthy paranoia following the massacre 10 years before, had built his mansion more like a castle than a house. It was a compact square with straight stone walls and narrow windows, and it even stood atop a hill. The roof had a pattern of stones running along its lip, much like the battlements atop a city wall. It was against one such stone that Raoden leaned now. Serene pressed close to his side, her arms around his waist, as they regarded the city. Soon after Roile's death the night before, Kyine had barred his doors and informed them that he had enough supplies stockpiled to last years. Though Raoden doubted the doors would survive long against a determined attack, he welcomed the feelings of safety Kyine inspired. There was no telling how Telrai would react to Raoden's appearance. Chances were, however, that he would give up all pretense and seek Fiordel aid. The Elantris guard might have been hesitant to attack Raoden, but Fiordel troops would have no such inhibitions.
"I should have figured it out," Serene mumbled at Raoden's side.
"Hmm?" Raoden asked, raising his eyebrows. She was wearing one of Deora's dresses, which was, of course, too short for her, though Raoden rather liked the amount of leg it showed. She wore her short blonde wig, which was cut in a style that made her look younger than she was, a schoolgirl instead of a mature woman. Well, Raoden revised, a 6-foot-tall schoolgirl. Serene raised her head, looking into his eyes.
"I can't believe I didn't put it together. I was even suspicious about your, meaning Raoden's, disappearance. I assumed the king had killed you off, or at least exiled you."
"He certainly would have liked to," Raoden said. "He tried to send me away on numerous occasions, but I usually wiggled out of it somehow."
"It was so obvious," Serene said, resting her head on his shoulder with a petulant thud. "The cover-up, the embarrassment, it makes perfect sense."
"It's easy to see the answers once the puzzle is solved, Serene," Raoden said. "I'm not surprised that no one connected my disappearance with Elantris. That isn't the sort of thing an Aerilene would assume. People don't talk about Elantris, and they certainly don't want to associate it with those they love. They would prefer to believe that I'd died than know that I'd been taken by the Shaod. But I'm not an Aerilene," Serene said. "I don't have the same biases."
"You lived with them," Raoden said. "You couldn't help being affected by their disposition. Besides, you haven't lived around Elantris. You didn't know how the Shaod worked."
Serene huffed to herself. "And you let me go along in ignorance, my own husband."
"I gave you a clue," he protested.
"Yes, about 5 minutes before you revealed yourself." Raoden chuckled, pulling her close. No matter what else happened, he was glad that he had made the decision to leave Elantris. This short time with Serene was worth it. After a few moments, he realized something. "I'm not, you know."
"Not what?"
"Your husband. At least the relationship is disputable. The betrothal contract said our marriage would be binding if either of us died before the wedding. I didn't die. I went to Elantris. Though they're essentially the same thing, the contract's words were very specific." Serene looked up with concern. He laughed quietly. "I'm not trying to get out of it, Serene," he said. "I'm just saying we should make it formal, just so everyone's mind is put at ease." Serene thought for a moment. Then she nodded sharply. "Definitely. I've been engaged twice during the last 2 months, and I never got a wedding. A girl deserves a good wedding."
"A queen's wedding," Raoden agreed.
Serene sighed as she looked back at Kei. The city seemed cold and lifeless, almost unpopulated. The political uncertainty was destroying the economy of Aerilon, as surely as Iodine's rule had destroyed its spirit. Where there should have been busy commerce, only a few hearty pedestrians slipped furtively through the streets. The only exception was the great city square, which held the tents of the Aerilene market. While some of the merchants had decided to cut their losses, moving on to Teode to sell what they could, a surprising number had stayed. What could have persuaded so many to remain, to try and push wares upon a people that just weren't buying? The only other place that showed any sign of activity was the palace. Elantris City Guard members had been poring over the area like worried insects all morning. Serene had sent her Sion to investigate, but he had yet to return.
"He was such a good man," Serene said softly.
"Roile?" Raoden asked.
"Yes, he was. The Duke was the role model I needed when my father proved unworthy."
Serene chuckled softly. "When Kyine first introduced Roile to me, he said he wasn't sure if the Duke helped us because he loved Aerilon, or because he was just bored.
Many people took Roile's craftiness as a sign of deceitfulness," Raoden said. "They were wrong. Roile was clever, and he enjoyed intrigue. But he was a patriot. He taught me to believe in Aerilon, even after its many stumbles."
"He was like a wily old grandfather," Serene said. "And he almost became my husband."
"I still can't believe that," Raoden said. "I loved Roile. But to imagine him married? To you?"
Serene laughed. "I don't think we believed it either. Of course, that doesn't mean we wouldn't have gone through with it."
Raoden sighed, rubbing her shoulder. "If only I had known what capable hands I was leaving Aerilon in. It would have saved me a great deal of worry."
"And New Elantris?" Serene asked. "Is Kerita watching it?"
"New Elantris watches itself without much trouble," Raoden said. "But I did send Galadin back this morning, with instructions to begin teaching the people Aeon Dor. If we fail here, I don't want to leave Elantris unable to protect itself."
"There probably isn't much time left."
"Time enough to make sure they learn an Aeon or two," Raoden said. "They deserve to know the secret to their power."
Serene smiled. "I always knew you would find the answer. Domai doesn't let your kind of dedication go wasted."
Raoden smiled. The night before, she had made him draw several dozen Aeons to prove that they actually worked. Of course, they hadn't been enough to save Roile. A rock of guilt burned in Raoden's chest. If he had known the proper modifiers, he might have been able to save Roile. A gut wound took a long time to kill a man. Raoden could have healed each organ separately, then sealed the skin. Instead, he had been able only to draw a general Aeon that affected Roile's entire body. The Aeon's power, already weak, had been diluted so much by the broad target that it did no good. Raoden had stayed up late, memorizing modifiers. Aeon Dor healing was a complex, difficult art, but he was determined to make certain no one else died because of his inability. It would take months of memorizing, but he would learn the modifier for every organ, muscle, and bone. Serene turned back to her contemplation of the city. She retained a strong grip on Raoden's waist. Serene did not like heights, especially if she didn't have something to hold on to. Looking over at the top of her head, Raoden suddenly remembered something from the night studies. Reaching out, he pulled off her wig. It resisted as the glue held, then fell away, revealing the stubble underneath. Serene turned with questioning, annoyed eyes. But Raoden was already drawing. It wasn't a complex Aeon. It required him only to stipulate a target, how the target was to be affected, and a length of time. When he finished, her hair began to grow. It went lethargically, sliding out of her head like a breath slowly exhaled. In a few minutes, however, it was finished. Her long golden hair, once again reaching to the middle of her back. Serene ran disbelieving fingers through the hair. Then she looked up at Raoden with teary eyes.
"Thank you," she whispered, pulling him close.
You have no idea what that means. After a moment, she pulled back, staring at him with intent, silvery gray eyes. Show yourself to me.
My face? Raoden asked.
Serene nodded.
You've seen it before,
he said hesitantly. I know, but I'm getting too used to this one. I want to see the real you.
The determination in her eyes stopped him from arguing further. With a sigh, he reached up, tapping the collar of his undershirt with his index finger. To him, nothing changed, but he could feel Serene stiffen as the illusion fell away. He felt suddenly ashamed, and hurriedly began to draw the Aeon again. But she stopped him.
It isn't as horrid as you think, Raoden, she said, running her fingers across his face. They say your bodies are like corpses, but that isn't true. Your skin may be discolored and a little wrinkled, but there is still flesh underneath.
Her finger found the cut on his cheek, and she gasped slightly.
I did this, didn't I?
Raoden nodded. As I said, I had no idea how good of a fencer you are.
Serene ran her finger down the wound. It confused me terribly when I couldn't find the wound. Why does the illusion show your expressions, but not a cut?
It's complicated, Raoden said. You have to link each muscle in the face with its companion in the illusion. I could never have figured it out myself. The equations are all in one of my books.
But you altered the illusion so quickly last night, changing from Kalu to Raoden.
He smiled. That's because I had two illusions on. One connected to my undershirt, and the other to my coat. As soon as I dissolved the one on top, the one underneath showed. I'm just glad it looks enough like me that the others recognized it. There weren't, of course, any equations describing how to create my own face. I had to figure that out on my own.
You did a good job.
I extrapolated from my Elantrian face, telling the illusion to use it as a base. He smiled. You're a lucky woman, having a man who can change faces at any time. You'll never get bored.
Serene snorted. I like this one just fine. This is the face that loved me when it thought I was an Elantrian. All rank and title abandoned.
You think you can get used to this? Raoden asked.
Raoden, I was going to marry Roile last week. He was a dear old man, but he was so incredibly homely that rocks looked handsome when he stood next to them.
Raoden laughed. Despite everything, Telrai, Wraithen, and poor Roile's demise, his heart was jubilant.
What are they doing? Serene said, looking back at the palace.
Raoden turned to follow her view, an action that bumped Serene forward slightly. She reacted by locking a death-like grip on Raoden's shoulder, her fingers biting into his flesh.
Don't do that.
Oops, he said, putting an arm around her shoulder. I forgot about your fear of heights.
I am not afraid of heights, Serene said, still holding onto his arm. I just get dizzy.
Of course, Raoden said, squinting at the palace.
He could barely make out a group of soldiers doing something in the grounds before the building. They were laying out blankets or sheets of some sort.
It's too far, Serene said.
Where is Aeshi?
Raoden reached up and sketched Aeon Nei, a large circular character, in the air before them. When he was finished, the air inside Aeon Nei's circle rippled like water, then cleared
to show a magnified view of the city. Placing his palm in the center of the circle, Raoden maneuvered the Aeon until it was pointing at the palace. The view unblurred itself, and they were able to see the soldiers with such detail that they could read their rank insignias.
"That's useful," Serene noted, as Raoden raised the Aeon slightly.
The soldiers were indeed laying out sheets. Sheets with what appeared to be bodies on them. Raoden grew cold as he moved the disc along the line of corpses. The last two corpses in the row were familiar. Serene gasped in horror as Eondel's and Telrai's dead faces came into focus. Chapter 56.
"He attacked late last night, my lady," Aeshi explained.
The remaining members of their group, Kyine, Lucal, and Shuden, were gathered atop the house, watching as Raoden focused his Aeon spyglass on the funeral pyres being built in the palace courtyard. Baron Shuden sat morosely on the stone roof, shaking his head in disbelief. Serene held the young Jindo's hand in an attempt to provide comfort, painfully aware of how difficult the last few days must have been for him. His future father-in-law had turned out to be a traitor. Taurina had reportedly disappeared, and now his best friend was dead.
"He was a brave man," Kyine said, standing beside Raoden.
"That was never in question," Raoden said. "His actions were foolish nonetheless." "He did it for honor, Raoden," Serene said, looking up from the despondent Shuden. "Telrai murdered a great man last night. Eondel acted to avenge the Duke."
Raoden shook his head. "Revenge is always a foolish motivation, Serene. Now we have lost not only Roael, but Eondel as well. The people are left with their second dead king in the space of a few weeks."
Serene let the matter drop. Raoden spoke as a ruler, not as a friend. He couldn't afford to give Eondel leeway, even in death, because of the situation the Count had created. The soldiers did not wait on ceremony to immolate the fallen men. They simply lit the pyre, then saluted en masse as the bodies burned away. Whatever else could be said about the guard, they performed this one duty with solemnity and honor.
"There," Raoden said, pointing his Aeon at a detachment of about 50 soldiers who left the pyre and galloped toward Kyine's house. All wore the brown capes that marked them as officers in the Elantra City Guard.
"This could be bad," Kyine said.
"Or it could be good," Raoden said.
Kyine shook his head.
"We should collapse the entryway. Let them try to break down my door with a ton of stone behind it."
"No," Raoden said. "Trapping us inside won't do any good. I want to meet with them."
"There are other ways out of the building," Kyine said.
"Still, wait for my command to collapse your entryway, Kyine," Raoden said. "That is an order."
Kyine ground his teeth for a moment, then nodded.
"All right, Raoden. But not because you order it, but because I trust you. My son may call you king, but I accept the rule of no man."
Serene regarded her uncle with a look of shocked surprise. She had never seen him speak in such a manner. He was usually so jovial, like a happy circus bear. Now his face was flat and grim, covered with whiskers he had allowed to start growing the moment Iodin was found dead. Gone was the brusque but compliant chef, and in his place
was a man who seemed more like a grizzled admiral from her father's navy.
"Thank you, Kyine," Raoden said. Her uncle nodded. The horsemen approached quickly, fanning out to surround Kyine's hilltop fortress. Noticing Raoden on the roof, one of the soldiers urged his horse a few steps closer.
"We have heard rumors that Lord Raoden, Crown Prince of Aerilon, still lives," the man announced. "If there is truth to this, let him come forward. Our country has need of a king."
Kyine untensed visibly, and Raoden let out a quiet sigh. The guard officers stood in a row, still mounted, and even from the short distance, Raoden could see their faces. They were harried, confused, yet hopeful.
"We have to move quickly, before that Yorn can respond," Raoden said to his friends. "Send messengers to the nobility. I plan to hold my coronation within the hour."
Raoden strode into the palace throne room. Beside the throne dais stood Serene and the young-looking patriarch of the Karathi religion. Raoden had only just met the man, but Serene's description of him had been accurate. Long golden hair, a smile that claimed to know things it didn't, and a self-important air were his most striking features. However, Raoden needed him. The statement made by choosing the Patriarch of Shu-Korath to crown him was an important precedent. Serene smiled encouragingly as Raoden approached. It amazed him how much she had to give, considering what she had been through recently. He joined her on the dais, then turned to regard the nobility of Aerilon. He recognized most of the faces. Many of them had supported him before his exile. Now, most were simply confused. His appearance had been sudden, as had Telrai's death. Rumors were widespread that Raoden had been behind the assassination, but most of the people didn't seem to care. Their eyes were dull from the shock, and they were beginning to show the wearied signs of extended stress.
"It will change now," Raoden promised them silently. "No more questioning, no more uncertainty. We will put forth a united front, with Teod, and face Fjordan."
"My lords and ladies," Raoden said, "people of Aerilon, our poor kingdom has suffered too much over the last 10 years. Let us set it at right once again. With this crown, I promise..."
He froze.
He felt a power. At first, he thought the door was attacking. However, he realized this was something else, something he had never experienced before. Something external. Someone else was manipulating the door. He searched through the crowd, masking his surprise. His eyes fell on a small, red-robed form, almost invisible among the noblemen. The power was coming from him.
"A Dorethi priest?" Raoden thought incredulously.
The man was smiling, and his hair was blonde beneath his hood.
"What?"
The mood of the congregation changed. Several people fainted immediately, but most simply stared. Dumbfounded. Shocked. Yet somehow unsurprised. They had been beaten down so much. They had expected something horrible to happen. Without checking, Raoden knew that his illusion had fallen. The patriarch gasped, dropping the crown as he stumbled away. Raoden looked back to the crowd, his stomach sick. He had been so close.
A voice came at his side. "Look at him, nobles of Erelon," Serene declared. "Look at the man who would have been your king. Look at his dark skin and his Elantrian face. Then tell me, does it really matter?" The crowd was quiet. 10 years you were ruled by a tyrant because you rejected Elantris, Serene said. You were the privileged, the wealthy. But in a way, you were the most oppressed, for you could never be secure. Were your titles worth your freedom? This is the man who loved you when all others sought to steal your pride. I ask you this, can being an Elantrian make him any worse a king than Iodan or Telrai? She knelt before him. I, for one, accept his rule. Raoden watched the crowd tensely. Then, one at a time, they began to kneel. It began with Shuden and Lucal, who stood near the front of the crowd. But it soon spread to the others. Like a wave, the forms knelt. Some in a stupor, others with resignation. Some, however, dared to be happy. Serene reached down and snatched up the fallen crown. It was a simple thing, no more than a hastily constructed gold band. But it represented so much. With Cianalyn stunned, the Princess of Teode took his duty upon herself, and reaching up, placed the crown on Raoden's head. "Behold your king!" she exclaimed. Some of the people actually started cheering. One man was not cheering, but hissing. Diloph looked as if he wanted to claw his way through the crowd and rip Raoden apart with his bare hands. The people, whose cheers increased from a few scattered yells to a general exclamation of approval, kept him back. The priest looked around him with loathing, then forced his way through the crowd and escaped through the doors, out into a darkening city. Serene ignored the priest, instead looking over at Raoden. "Congratulations, Your Majesty," she said, kissing him lightly. "I can't believe they accepted me," Raoden said with wonder. 10 years ago, they rejected the Elantrians," Serene said, "and found that a man could be a monster no matter what he looked like. They're finally ready to accept a ruler, not because he's a god or because he has money, but because they know he will lead them well." Raoden smiled. "Of course it helps when that ruler has a wife who can deliver a moving speech at precisely the right moment." "True." Raoden turned, looking out over the crowd toward the fleeing Diloph. "Who was that?" "Just one of Raethan's priests," Serene said dismissively. "I imagine he isn't having a very good day. Diloph is known for his hatred of Elantrians." Raoden didn't seem to think her dismissal was justified. "Something's wrong, Serene. Why did my illusion drop?"
"You didn't do that?"
Raoden shook his head. I think that priest did it."
"What?"
"I sensed the door the moment before my Aeon fell, and it was coming from that priest." He paused for a moment, grinding his teeth. "Can I borrow Aeshi?"
"Of course," Serene said, waving the Sion closer.
"Aeshi, would you deliver a message for me?" Raoden asked.
"Of course, my lord," the Sion said with a bob.
"Find Galadin in New Elantris,
and tell him what just happened, Raoden said. Then warn him to be ready for something.
For what, my lord?
I don't know, Raoden said. Just tell him to be prepared. And tell him that I'm worried.
Chapter 57 Raethan watched as Raoden strode into the throne room. No one challenged the impostor's claim. This man, Raoden or not, would soon be king. Serene's move was a brilliant stroke. Tel'Rai assassinated, a pretender on the throne. Raethan's plans were in serious danger. Raethan eyed this pretender, feeling an odd surge of hatred as he saw the way that Serene looked at the man. Raethan could see the love in her eyes. Could that foolish adoration really be serious? Where had this man come from so suddenly? And how had he managed to capture Serene, who was normally so discerning? Regardless, she had apparently given her heart to him. Logically, Raethan knew his jealousy was foolish. Raethan's own relationship with the girl had been one of antagonism, not of affection. Why should he be jealous of another man? No. Raethan needed to be level-headed. Only 1 month remained until the armies of United Dorethi would wash over Aerilon, slaughtering the people, Serene included. Raethan had to work quickly if he was going to find a way to convert the kingdom with so little time remaining. Raethan pulled back as Raoden began the coronation. Many a king ordered his enemy's incarceration as a first royal decree, and Raethan didn't want his presence to give the impostor a reminder. He was, however, close enough to the front to witness the transformation. Raethan was confused by the sight. The Sheod was supposed to come suddenly, but not that suddenly. The oddity forced him to reconsider his assumptions. What if Raoden hadn't died? What if he had been hiding in Elantris all along? Raethan had found a way to feign being an Elantrian. What if this man had done the same? Raethan was shocked by the transformation, but he was even more shocked when the people of Aerilon did nothing about it. Serene gave her speech, and people just stood dully. They did not stop her from crowning the Elantrian king. Raethan felt sick. He turned, and by happenstance he saw Dilaf slipping away from the crowd. Raethan trailed behind, for once he shared Dilaf's disgust. He was amazed that the people of Aerilon could act so illogically. At that moment, Raethan realized his mistake. Dilaf had been right. If Raethan had focused more on Elantris, the people would have been too disgusted to grant Raoden kingship. Raethan had neglected to instill in his followers a true sense of Yadath's holy will. He had used popularity to convert, rather than doctrine. The result was a fickle congregation, capable of returning to their old ways as quickly as they had left. "It is this cursed deadline," Raethan thought to himself, as he strode down Kaye's quickly darkening evening streets. 3 months was not enough time to build a stable following. Ahead of him, Dilaf turned down a side street. Raethan paused. That wasn't the way to the chapel. It was the way to the center of the city. Curiosity overcoming brooding, Raethan turned to follow the Artith, staying far enough behind to diffuse the clicking of his armored feet on the cobblestones. He needn't have worried. The Artith strode through the blackening night with single-minded purpose, not bothering to look back. Dusk had almost passed,
and darkness cloaked the market square. Raythan lost track of Dilaf in the waning light and stopped, looking around at the quiet tents. Suddenly, lights appeared around.